If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7 is where we're going to be. Verses 7 through 17 will be our greatest emphasis verses this morning. But last week really would have been our Independence Day message, so to speak. We're going through the Old Testament this summer, and this morning we're going to look into Amos and see what he has to say. About 800 years before Christ is born, Amos has some words to say to the nation of Israel about how they were living their lives. And it's really about the downfall of a nation. And as you and I celebrate Independence Day this past week, you and I know and we understand that God has blessed the United States of America immensely. Amen? We live in a country with freedoms like no other country in the world. We get to come to church on Sunday morning. We get to get up in the morning freely grabbing the Word of God, opening it and reading it, and hearing what God has to say to us. We get to do that. We get to bow our heads and praise our God through prayer. We get to talk with Him on a regular basis. We get to do these things, and we are a blessed, blessed nation. But I want you to look and to pay attention. For over 200 years, we've been a nation that has been blessed by the hands of God because we are a nation that has been founded on the Word of God. And if you look around, you'll see that more and more those freedoms are being taken away because we, the people of God, are not standing up and being the voice of God. And so this morning, I want to share with you, as we talk about the downfall of a nation, I want to ask you a question. Can a nation fall? You're thinking this morning, preacher, I don't want you to preach some old blue humdrum message this morning. I know that's what's going through your mind. And the great thing about the message this morning is we don't end that way. I want to share all of the Word of God with you as we look at Amos this morning. And really, it's about what you believe as a child of God, according to the Word of God. Is God a God of vengeance and only vengeance, of judgment and only judgment? Or when a people repent, turn back to God, is God one who blesses those decisions as well? So we're going to look at some of all of that this morning. And I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 17. Now, I'm going to start in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to turn over. But just follow along with me. The words of Amos, who was among the shepherders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. All right, so this is a man that had been called of God. He was a shepherder. You need to get that picture, first of all. Now, I want you to turn over to chapter 7, verses 7 and following, and follow along. He says this: "Thus he showed me." This is what God had showed him. "Behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, 'Amos, what do you see?' And I said, 'A plumb line.' Then the Lord said, 'Behold, I'm setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I'll not pass by them anymore. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate. The sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise with a sword against the house of Jeroboam.' Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, 'Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land.' Then Amaziah said to Amos, 'Go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah. There eat bread, and there prophesy. But never again prophesy at Bethel, For it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence. Then Amos answered, and he said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherder, and the tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not spout against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot in the city, your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword, your land shall be divided by survey line. You shall die in a defiled land, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from his own land. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, Lord, today in the mighty name of Jesus, I want to thank you that I can say that I live in the greatest nation in the world. Lord, I want to thank you that even though there are some strenuous times, there's some moral corruption and some spiritual corruption that has taken place, I want to thank you that in the name of Jesus, there are still remnants of men and women across this country who gather together on a weekly basis, who get up in the morning and study your word, who talk with you regularly. I want to thank you that there's still a remnant that loves you with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Father, today as that remnant that loves you, I want to thank you that we are able to come together and we're able to talk concerning this prophecy that was written over 800 years before Jesus was born. And today, Father, how does your word translate to us today? So Father, I pray that today your word will go forth, that it'll not return void, that the eyes of our hearts will be open, that we as a people, man, woman, and child, who are God-fearing, that our eyes would be opened to the point where we begin to pray, desperately pray for our country, that we begin to pray for the lost souls, that we might be moved to truly be your hands and feet in order that change might begin to take place once again. Father, we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. So the prophet Amos, he was spoken to by God, and he confessed right here in the words that you and I looked at this morning that he wasn't a prophet, that he wasn't the son of a prophet. He didn't desire to be a prophet, but that God himself came and he spoke to him while he was shepherding the flock. God came and he spoke to him that he should go to Israel. Israel was the chosen people of God, that he should go to Israel and that he should speak to them concerning the way they've been living their lives. I want to tell you, I like Amos, I am no prophet of God, but I believe the word of God is true without any mixture of error, and I believe that it applies to you and I in our lives today as well. And I think that you and I need to hear the whole counsel of the word of God and not just bits and pieces of it, not just feel-good sermons, but we need to know what God expects of us as his children living in a world, in a culture that has turned its back on the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, as we look at Amos, I want to tell you his words ring true for you and I today. And he begins the message by saying that he sees a plumb line. This plumb line is something that carpenters would use in days of old. Some of them still use it today, but it's kind of, the level has kind of taken the plumb's place. Now, I know that masons still use it, and it's to keep the wall straight as the wall is being built. And you know, if a wall is being built, if it gets off of that plumb line just a little bit, it'll cause lots of problems before the wall gets to the very top. Now, again, I'm not a carpenter, but I know a carpenter. He's my best friend. Matter of fact, he's a Jewish carpenter, and his name is Jesus. And the plumb line I want to share with you that he was talking about this morning is the Word of God itself. This is the plumb line by which you and I are to use to measure the plumb of Americans' morality, of America's ethics, of America's spirituality. This is the device, this is the tool that you and I are to use to see if you and I are being obedient and if we are living our lives up to par, so to speak. And so there are really a couple of things that I want to share with you this morning concerning the Word of God. But let me share with you what Theodore Roosevelt said. He was president in the first part of the 20th century. And this is what he said. This was a prophecy. He prophesied this. I want to tell you, as a president of the United States, I want to quote this. And I quote, he predicted this. He said, "The things that will destroy America are prosperity at any price, peace at any price, safety first instead of duty first, the love of soft living, and the get-rich-quick theory of life." So in this message that we're going to look at this morning, we're going to kind of address some of these things. As God warns Israel, God also warns us today in retrospect as you and I look at the Word of God and see how it applies to our life. So the first thing that I want to submit to you this morning concerning the Word of God is this. God sends a warning before He sends judgment. God sends a warning before He sends judgment. And that's the reason that over and over again in the Old Testament, you see the Word of God as He was speaking to His people, He would always send a prophet. He would always send a spokesperson, someone that He had spoken to, that He had driven into the heart of that individual so that that person would go and proclaim the Word of God. Proclaim it to the ears of those people who confessed to be the children of God. Now, you and I today, we claim and we confess to be the children of God Almighty. Amen or oh me. We claim that we are the children of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And as a result of who you and I are in Christ Jesus, this message, this word applies to you and I today as well. It's applicable. You think, well, preacher, you said already that it was written 800 years before Jesus was born. But the principles of the Word of God are true across all generations. And so this morning, what you need to know is that God sends a warning before He sends judgment. So He sent Amos to Israel. And they didn't want to listen. As a matter of fact, if you'll turn with me to Amos chapter 1, you can listen to what some of the things were that as the warning signals to God's people. He said this, "The Lord roars from Zion and He utters His voice." This is verse 2. "He utters His voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn. The top of Carmel withers. Thus says the Lord. For three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away its punishment because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron." So this is what he's saying. God is going to punish Damascus. He's going to punish Gaza. He's going to punish Tyre. That's what's being said right here. And then here's what the people of God, Israel, this is what they were saying. When Amos was saying that to the children of Israel, then they were pretty excited. And this is what they said. They said, "Amen, preacher. Keep on preaching it." And then he continued to go on and share. And then it gets down to God's going to punish Edom, Ammon, and Moab. And then once again, the people shouted. They said, "Preach on, preacher Amos. Come on, you're a prophet of God. You're really sharing the word. You keep preaching it." Because it was God going to punish those who were enemies of Israel. And so they were hearing that and they were excited about that. And then once again, Israel, as they shouted, "Preach it." And then Amos said, "God's going to punish Judah and the southern kingdom for their sins." And Israel, Jerusalem, they were excited even about that. But then it gets on down and it says, "God is going to punish you, Israel, for your sins." And then the people began to cry. "Get away. You're no prophet. You're no preacher. We don't want to hear anything that you have to say." Because then it had been turned on them. And I just wonder today, has God not warned us time and time again? What if, and again, I'm no prophet, but what if I were to come and I were to tell you that God is going to destroy the Middle East and all of those who have been coming as and attacking the freedoms of the world and of the United States? Many would say, go on, you preach on, preacher. You get it done. You share that gospel. You share that word. If I were to come and say, and then God's going to destroy Russia for the way that they've led and lived their lives as well. And you would say, preach on, preacher, or any other country. And then I say, but listen, God says that he's going to destroy America if we don't repent and turn back to him. You'd say, stop preaching, preacher. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear any more, preacher. Get down, hush. We only want to hear the feel-good part of the sermon. And I would have to say, but God has called me to preach all of it, not just some of it. And so I'm telling you that God always sends a warning before he sends judgment. And so I'm here to declare that to you today. Look at our past, just over the last 15 years. God has sent warnings, has he not? Have you not been able to look at the television? Have you not been able to see the media? Have you not been able to see that there have been earthquakes, there have been tsunamis, there have been tornadoes like never before? There's been the destruction of something that was kind of a statement of wealth in our country with the trade towers. And God is sending a warning, and he's trying to get our attention, just like he did in Amos day. He's trying to get our attention, but we do what Israel did. We ignore God's warning. We've not paid attention to what God has shared. We've ignored it at all costs because we really don't want to hear the message that he's had to share. So this is what Amos said in Amos chapter 4 verses 6 through 12. Amos chapter 4 verses 6 through 12, he said this: also, I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and lack of bread in all your places, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. And he just goes through a list of things that God has done, the warning signals that God had set in order that Israel would turn back to the one true God. He had showed, and they had not returned to God. They had not repented. They had not corrected their errors. And it says, I also withheld rain from you when there were still 3 months to the harvest. I made it rain on one city. I withheld rain from another city. One part was rained upon. And where it did not rain, that part withered. So, two or three cities wandered to another city to drink water, but they were not satisfied, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. And he continues to go on all the way through. And then verse 12, he says, therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. And God was trying to get the people's attention. God was sending warning signals. Let me ask you a question. As a parent, when your child misbehaves, do you send a warning signal? Do we do that as parents? We do, don't we? We send a warning signal. If you don't straighten up, you're going to go to your room for the rest of the night. We send a warning signal. And typically what happens is, well, they just don't hear us. I told you, if you don't straighten up, you're going to your room. And they still don't hear. There's another warning. I've told you for the last time, and you go and you grab them by the ear. You ever done that? You go and you grab them by the ear and you pull them along. And you say, get in that bedroom, and don't you come out until I tell you it's time for you to come out. See, you'd warned them twice, and finally on the third warning, you had to get their attention. And I feel like right now, this is where we are. We've been warned once. We've been warned twice. Now, look, God is taking us by the ear, and he's dragging us, and this gets our attention. And we don't like the way this feels, but sometimes this is how God gets our attention. And so he says this, prepare to meet your God. And my question is this, could God be saying to America today, prepare to meet your God? Straighten up. Stand up as believers. Pay attention to what's going on in the world and be a voice to reckon with for the name of Jesus Christ. Could God be sending us warning signals, but we refuse to hear them? And so the second thing that I want to submit to you this morning is this. Listen to me. It's important that you get this because this is a little bit more enjoyable part of the message, and that's that God will restore any nation that returns to him. Isn't that good news? Isn't it good news? I need an amen. I need to know that you're here and that you're hearing what's being said. Isn't it good news that God will restore, listen to me, restore is the key word, any nation that repents and turns to him. So isn't that good news? And so as we look at the Word of God this morning, here's what the Scripture says. Amos chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. Turn there. This is the last part of the book of Amos. And verses 11 through 15, he says, on that day, the day of repentance, the day when judgment has come to fruition, when the day is that the children of God had humbled themselves in God's presence, had gotten on their knees, turned their face to the ground, and prayed and said, Lord, forgive me where I have failed you. On that day, then the Word of God says this, on that day I will rise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And the children of Israel said, praise God. Because that's what they had been praying for and hoping for, that God would raise up. It said, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruin and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all of the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does these things. So God's really going to get their attention now because he's restoring what was broken. He had judged and he had judged and he had warned and he had warned and then he had implemented judgment. And at the conclusion of him implementing judgment, then he says, now it's time for restoration. And that applies to us as a country. But listen to me, because that applies just as equally to you and I as individuals. And God desires that he restore us. And then he says in verse 13, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper. This is a good thing. And the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all of the hills shall flow with it. And I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord God. So restoration is at hand. Restoration. God's greatest desire for his people in 722 BC, Judah fell to the Babylonians. In 587 BC, it fell to the Babylonians. And in spite of those invasions, God says that there's still hope. Many people actually thought that after the last invasion of 587, that God was going to bring and restore the children of Israel. But actually in 70 AD, it was trampled on and the temple was destroyed a final time. But did you know, since 1948, when the children of Israel had become a nation again, I believe from that point on, they will never be uprooted again. I believe that the world could collapse upon Israel, and God is still going to bless them. I believe that now is more important than at any time in history for the United States to be friends with Israel. And we've got to be obedient to the Word of God, because the Word of God says that He will bless those who bless Israel, and He will curse those who curse Israel. And so I believe that God has brought, we've seen a mass exodus from the rest of the world, and the children of Israel going back home to their land. And I believe the Bible is coming to fruition. You know, God has a way of working those details out, doesn't He? But the great thing is that God will restore those who repent. And there are a couple of things that I want to share with you quickly this morning. A couple of things that I want to share with you concerning what has to be done in our lives, but also concerning who God is. And number one thing is this. A, is God does not play favorites. The children of Israel thought that as long as God was destroying our enemies, that they were okay. But then when it got to the point where they had been disobedient so long, God said, but I'm also going to judge you. They didn't want to hear that. And so in their mind, for them to be judged by God was a major thing. And I share that with you today because I believe that today we think that America will never fall, that America is the best she's ever been, and I beg to differ. I tell you that America is falling, and she's falling fast. I say that America is worse than she's ever been. And I know we're going over the air, so I may end up in jail for preaching a message like this, and if I do, you better come get me out. And I'm not kidding. But I'm telling you, I believe that she's worse than she's ever been. Listen to what the Word of God says. Amos chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Hear this word the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel. And so you and I could say this, O people of God. Because through the blood of Jesus, we have inherited the position as children of God. All right? Against the whole family I have brought you up out of Egypt. You only have I chosen of all my families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for your sins. And God does not play favorites, even with His children. God's going to punish us. He's going to get our attention. And His greatest desire is this, that we realize the error of our way as a people, and that we humble ourselves in God's presence, and that we say, Lord, please forgive me for my hypocrisy. Lord, please forgive me for my lack of duty as a Christ follower. Please forgive me for my lack of action when it comes to being obedient to your word. Please forgive me for not loving my neighbor as myself. When you and I as God's people humble ourselves, then God hears from heaven and He answers our prayer. I want to tell you, this morning I came in and I was having some prayer time, and the Bible here was turned on Jeremiah chapter 23, I think, and I wanted to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want to tell you, no joke, I literally just turned the Bible and it hit on the exact verse that I wanted it to hit on. And so let me read from the big book this morning. Will you allow me to do that? Listen to what it says in verse 14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Friends, I exaggerate not even a little bit. From here to here, I just flipped. This was not there. And I think that God desires for us to hear the alarms going off. I believe that God desires for us to be a people who pay attention to His Word. I believe that God desires for us to be understanding in the fact that God has called us to humble ourselves in His presence and pray and seek His face. Listen to me, parents. It has to start at home. It has to start with you. You have to be the ones that are implementing that humble spirit, that prayer mentality. that the importance of God's Word. Number two, the second thing is that God despises empty worship. Don't you know that God despises empty worship? The one thing that God cannot stand, you know, we've been preaching through the Old Testament. As we have gone through the Old Testament, one of the things that we have seen, and I know you remember, is that God was warning the children of Israel who were coming in week after week into the sanctuary, into the house of God, and they were leaving unchanged. They were leaving. They were coming to the house of God. They were sitting in the pews. Actually, they were standing. That's what they did in those days. They came in to the sanctuary, the house of God. They stood and they heard the word of God being proclaimed. And they left. And as they left, they went back to the world that they lived in. And they bowed down to false idols. They bowed down to the Baal gods, the sun god, the moon god, the star god. They bowed down and they worshiped those gods. They worshiped the gods that were made with the hands of man rather than the God who made the hands of man. And that's how they lived their lives. They came in week after week unchanged. And you and I must come into the house of God, and we have to allow God to change us when we gather together as a body of believers. We have to allow God to change us, and God despises empty worship. Amos chapter 5, verses 21 through 24 gives us an example of this. Amos chapter 5, verse 21 and following. I hate, you know, God doesn't use that word very often, does he? But listen to what he says. I hate, I despise your feast days. And I do not savor your sacrifice assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. Nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. God's displeased with empty worship. And as a matter of fact, he says this. He hates it. When you as an individual, when we gather together as an assembly, you're responsible for you. We talked about that the week before last. You remember that? You're responsible for you. And when you come into the house of God, you have to do it with joy in your heart. You have to do it with a smile on your face. Why? Because you come in here and you have opportunity to worship and to praise the one true God who is the creator of the universe and the savior of the soul through the blood of Jesus Christ. Friends, week after week, you and I have opportunity to come into the house of God, assemble together, and to praise God for who he is and what he's done, but also what he's going to do. Got opportunity to do that. And that's what we're to do today. Even though sometimes our feelings get hurt and our toes get stepped on just a little bit because we don't like the hard part of the Word of God. We only like the good, comfy part of the Word of God. But it's all God's Word. And we've got to hear it all. And the last thing is this. You've got to be ready to meet Him. Amos chapter 4, already read it. Verse 12, prepare to meet your God. And my question today is this. Are you prepared to meet him? As an individual, as a people, as an assembled church, a congregation, are we prepared to meet him? As a country, let me ask you, are we prepared to meet him? Oh, I know some of you are saying, yes, as an individual, I'm prepared to meet my Jesus. As a church, maybe we're saying, yeah, I think we're prepared to meet our Jesus as a whole. As a country, I think you and I would have to step back and we would have to acknowledge and we would have to say, no. Millions upon millions are going to die and go straight to hell because they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They're not ready to meet him. But let's reel it back in. Let's talk about you today. And it's about understanding who you are as a child of God. It's about understanding that you have to be accountable as an individual. It's about seeing his word and believing that it's true from front to back, from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, because God said Himself that I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. And He has spoken to us. He's given us a love letter. These are instructions for you and I to live by. These are warnings for you and I to see and to realize and then to apply what change needs to be made in our lives as individuals, as a church, as a country. But it starts with you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to stand before you and tell you that it's going to be easy when you surrender to Jesus, but I am going to stand before you and say it is the best decision you will ever make in your life, is to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As a matter of fact, I bet eternity on it. Preacher, what if I don't? Well, then you've got everything to lose. And if you do decide that you're going to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. So I don't know where you are as an individual, but I want to ask you the question again, and I think it is a valid question. Can a nation fall? The answer is yes. When the children of God turn their back on God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When the children of God no longer assemble together. When the children of God no longer wake up in the mornings and study the Word of God. When the children of God get together and no longer pray. When the children of God are no longer honoring God with the way they live their lives. Listen to me. Yes, a nation can fall. And I will take a step further and say will fall. Since the Korean and the Vietnam War has ended, Bible readings have been taken out of our public school system. Prayer has been removed from our public school system. And so many other things have come to the forefront as cultural norms that the world is accepting. So can a nation fall? I want to say we're on a fast slope down. Can it turn around? Yes. How? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. When my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. The first thing is humility. We've got to humble ourselves. And then when we do that, the next step is to seek God's face. We can't think that you and I can accomplish anything in and of ourselves. It's about who God is and what God is doing in your life as an individual. And you've got to seek God's face. What does that mean, preacher, seek God's face? It means you've got to go to the places where you know God is. It means you've got to turn to the Word of God, the rock. It means that you've got to talk with Him on a regular basis. It means that you've got to seek Him out as though you were searching for refined gold that has been refined seven times. That's the finest of the fine. It means you have got to search Him out. And then you've humbled yourself, you seek God, and then what? You pray. Pray. Friends, let me ask you, are we a people of prayer? Are we? Are you a people of prayer? Oh, my greatest desire is that we say yes. And so, listen, I don't know where you are individually. I don't know what God has done in your life. I don't know what decisions you've made to trust God as your Savior or not to trust God as your Savior. That's between you and God. But I want to say this, that if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior and you decide to do that today, come share it with us. Come let us know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior so we can celebrate together. And if you've not and you leave here today unchanged, I want to tell you, I'm not trying to put fear in your heart, but a little dose of fear can be healthy. If you leave here today without trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not promised tomorrow. And so today, let me ask you this. What are you going to do with the information you have? What are you going to do with Jesus? We're going to have an altar call. We're going to have an opportunity for the church to respond. This is what I want you to do. I don't care if you're making a personal decision or not. I want to challenge you, church, to come forward today and pray for this nation. You come forward today and you pray for this nation because God's Word says that if we'll humble ourselves and seek God's face and pray, then He'll hear from heaven and answer our prayers and restore our land. Friends, I think it's time that you and I, as men and women who love Jesus, to stand up. And I think it's time that we stand out. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, Lord, today, in the mighty name of Jesus, just want to thank you for your Word and its power. I want to thank you for life change that has taken place through the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to thank you today that I can know that Jesus is my God and that my eternity is secure in the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I want to lift this church up to you, these people up to you. I want to pray for them individually. I want to pray for their salvations. I want to pray for their homes. I want to pray for their marriages. I want to pray for their children. Father, I want to pray that you would cover them with blessing upon blessing because you desire the best for your children. Father, move in our hearts this morning. Lord, please move us to be a people of prayer. And I ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I want to ask that you stand this morning. I want to ask you to come. I want to ask you to pray. I want to ask you to pray for your country, your families, your children, your marriages. You come today. Just